Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will revisit our ongoing series on the emerging markets and focus in specifically on expectations for the second half of 2024. With that, we will be highlighting the Emerging Markets Team flagship report, Opportunities in the Second Half. This is part of the Investing in Emerging Markets publication series. Joining me for the conversation, one of the contributors to that piece, the Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas with UBS CIO, Alejo Zarwanko. With that, Alejo, thank you for dropping by Top of the Morning today. It's great to be back with you. Looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you so much, Dan. It's always such a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you, Alejo. So with that, let's get right into our conversation for today. Can you speak a bit to what the universe of emerging market bonds looks like today, and how is it different from just a few years ago?
Of course. One of the things we try to do in this monthly piece that you just shared with our listeners is to try to demystify the universe of emerging market bonds, because I still get the impression that some investors believe that EM bonds are too risky, subject to maybe super high likelihoods of default, and therefore not really suitable for buy and hold portfolios. This view might have been true several decades ago and might still apply to certain individual issuers within the emerging world today. But when you look at emerging market bonds as an asset class, this has greatly matured. And I think we're likely going to see attractive volatility-adjusted returns from this bond in coming years. To your question specifically, if you consider, for instance, the distribution within the emerging markets bond universe of investment-grade issuers and high-yield issuers, this has changed dramatically in the last few decades. When the asset class got its beginnings in the late 80s, early 90s, not even 3% of the country's issuing securities were rated investment-grade. That number has since grown to over 50%. So we went from 3% investment grade to over 50% investment grade today. In addition, you got to consider the fact that the investment universe has expanded dramatically, which allows investors for greater depth of choice, along with, of course, diversification benefits. 20 years ago, only 30 emerging market countries and 70 emerging market companies issued liquid enough bonds for you to trade. Today, that number has grown to over 70 countries and over 700 companies, right? So very significant increase in the opportunity set. The last thing I'd say in terms of the evolution of the asset class, Dan, has to do with the geographic distribution of issuers. 20 years ago, most issuers came from Latin America and from Asia. Today, you see much deeper representation of not only Latin American and Asian sovereigns and corporates, you also get quite a bit of exposure to Europe, to the Middle East, and to Africa, which allows investors to allocate capital across these regions with quite a bit of ease.
So against that backdrop, Alejo, just to touch on performance for a few moments, can you speak a bit to how investors in emerging market bonds, how they've done in recent years, and how might this compare to other fixed income segments, let's say such as U.S. Treasuries or U.S. investment grade bonds?
Absolutely. We just talked about the historical evolution of the asset class in terms of composition, ratings, geographic distribution. Hand in hand with this reality, what we've seen is that the performance of dollar-denominated emerging market bonds over the last 20 years has been quite solid, not just in total return terms, but also adjusted for their volatility. If you think about why this has been the case, investment returns during the period have been supported by the asset class spread over U.S. Treasuries. And this has all accrued in the context of low single-digit default rates in any given years, with the exception of a brief spike during the COVID pandemic. So in sum, Dan, when thinking about dollar-denominated emerging market bonds, very good risk-adjusted returns over the last 20 years, very competitive when compared to U.S. investment grade, U.S. treasuries, U.S. high yield, and they have added diversification benefits to portfolios. We do need to recognize emerging market local currency bonds. This is a less well-diversified asset class. It can be argued the asset class local currency, once again, has yet to reach the level of maturity of the dollar-denominated bonds segment. Returns for this subsegment have trailed somewhat behind when it comes to, you know, performance during the same period.
As far as what lies ahead, Alejo, what does CIO expect for emerging market bonds, let's say for the balance of 2024 and even beyond?
Yes, let's start with, tactical investment horizon, the near term, right? I think you start with the premise that emerging market dollar-denominated bonds are offering an appealing interest rate of between 7 and 8% for corporates and sovereigns, respectively. If you pair that with our view that the spread that these bonds offer over U.S. treasuries is roughly fair and is likely to move sideways over the next 6 to 12 months, this means investors can clip a healthy coupon in EM debt. In other words, you can collect high single-digit returns in the next 6 to 12 months. Of course, as in anything in life, the risks are related to maybe a renewed set of U.S. recession fears, a flare-up of geopolitical tension, but you've got some cushion when you're talking about this level of rates. Maybe more specifically, Dan, I'll give you an example of areas of near-term opportunity. We do a lot of work in the Latin American corporate bond space. The issuers we cover in this space include industry and sector champions of global scale. They have very healthy balance sheets. There's opportunities across industrial and agricultural commodity producers, cement producers, logistic operations, telecommunications services providers, systemically important banks, aircraft manufacturers, among others. The other part of the question, Dan, that you had was, let's look further out beyond our tactical horizon. Let's try to project more strategically, a few years out. And in that regard, we believe that emerging market dollar-denominated sovereign and corporate bonds should be able to deliver an average annualized return of close to 6% over the next business cycle. This should be accompanied with an annualized volatility of between 9 and 10%. When you take this all together, it compares well to expected returns in developed market fixed income segments, and we think it solidly justifies a long-term allocation to the asset class.
Well, Alejo, thank you for dropping by Top of the Morning today to keep our listeners informed on CIO's expectations for emerging market bonds as we're now making our way into the second half of the year.
Thank you for inviting me, and I hope this conversation helped a little bit demystify some preconceptions about emerging market bonds and, you know, bring folks up to speed in terms of what it truly looks like today.
Thank you, Alejo. And with that, I will point our listeners to the publication we have been referencing during today's segment, the Investing in Emerging Markets Monthly Flagship Opportunities in the Second Half. That publication can now be located on ubs.com/CIO if our listeners would like to read further into this. And of course, for clients of UBS, please reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of the publication directly. Though for today, we have been speaking speaking with the Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office, Alejo Zarwanko. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.